Let's pray. God, we do look to your word for light. We look for it to guide our lives, to show us where to go when we don't know. And God, we look to your word right now. And God, in this moment, may the words of my mouth and the meditations and the thoughts of every one of our hearts be pleasing to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. We are now in the third week of our series on our mission, helping people know and grow in Jesus. And the last part of that little portion of our statement is the grow in Jesus part. So we've talked about helping people, we've talked about knowing Jesus, and now we're going to talk about growing in Jesus. And just so you know, this tagline that you've seen on the back of the bulletin, helping people know and grow in Jesus, this functions as our mission statement. This is and should be what guides our decision making and what pushes us to move forward and why we do what we do as a church, to help people know and grow in Jesus. So it makes sense that we would want to take a look at what that's all about. So let's dive directly into the text with a story told by the best storyteller I could ever think of, Jesus, in Mark chapter 4. And we will begin in verse 3 of Mark chapter 4. Listen, the farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched, and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants, so that they did not bear grain. Still other seed fell on good soil. It came up, grew, and produced a crop, some multiplying 30, some 60, some 100 times. And then Jesus said, "Whoever has ears to hear, let them hear." This is the word of the Lord. You got to love how Jesus ends this. Whoever has ears to hear, let them hear. Because we all have ears, and hopefully we hear what he has to say. So we're going to begin in this talking about growth. We're beginning with the soil and the seed. And Jesus tells this parable about the soil and the seed. So that's where we're starting. And so we have this parable about the seed. And the seed is apparently all the same. There's no difference in the seed, at least according to the parable. All the seeds are sort of the same. But where they land, the soil in which they are planted, is very different. And so we find out in the interpretation of the parable, which Jesus is nice enough to give us an interpretation. He tells us what it means, because the people hear the parable and they're like, "Whoa, what are you talking about?" So, because that's what we're thinking too, right? "Whoa, what are you talking about?" And Jesus offers an interpretation. And I want to skip specifically down to verse 20, because this is what we're talking about when we talk about growth. So it talks about all the downfalls of these people who, you know, we're scattered on the rocky places and among the thorns. And we're not going to get into all the details of this passage. But in verse 20 it says, "Others, like seed sown on good soil, hear the word, accept it, and produce a crop. Some 30, some 60, some 100 times what was sown." And the implication of the parable is that, well, we want to be the type of seed that falls on the good soil. We want to be the kind of seed that falls on the good soil. So we want to be prepared. We want to be able to embody these ideals. And so, what are the characteristics given? So the seed sown on good soil in verse 20, it hears the word, accepts it, and produces a crop, some 30, some 60, some 100 times what was sown. So that there's something mysterious about people who hear the word of God. Right? He tells the story. He says, he who has ears to hear, let them hear. So we got ears. We're listening to the story. So presumably everybody actually heard the story. But the people don't need to just hear the story. They need to hear the story. We know the difference between, yeah, I'm listening, and yes, you're listening. Because if somebody asks you if you're listening, it's usually because you weren't listening. Right? Has anybody ever been in one of those conversations? Are you listening to me? Oh, yeah. Yep. Take the trash out. Okay. I'm on it. Click. Click. You take the trash out yet? Yeah, I'm listening. No. Yep. Yes. So hearing doesn't always mean responding, and I think Jesus is encouraging us to truly hear, not just hear. There's a subtle difference in the way I'm saying hear. No, it's saying it the same way. Hear and hear. We must actually hear. So, we hear the word, accept it, and produce a crop. So, there's something mysterious about responding to the word of God, where when we accept it, when we accept what God has told us, we accept the gospel, we accept the story of Jesus, that there's something mysterious about it that produces a crop, some 30, some 60, some 100 times. And the question is, well, what crop? What does that mean? What does it mean we produce a crop? Some 30, like, okay, it's bigger. We get bigger? We get more stuff? What does it mean? And so, that's why Mark chapter 4 is not the entire Bible. We have a lot more to work with. So we ask the question, a crop of what? What is exactly in this crop that we're talking about? And the first one I want to point out is the gospel. That the crop is of the gospel. And we're going to take a look at Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. Chapter 1 verses 3 through 6. Colossians 1 verse 3 says, "We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, because we've heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love you have for all his people. The faith and love that spring from the hope stored up for you in heaven and about which you have already heard in the truth, in the true word of the gospel that has come to you. In the same way, the gospel is bearing fruit and growing throughout the whole world, just as it had been doing among you since the day you heard it and truly understood God's grace." So what is growing is the gospel. So when we grow, maybe we are growing into the gospel. Maybe there's something, some mysterious connection between us and the actual good news of Jesus. So the gospel is bearing fruit and growing throughout the whole world. It's not just growing in our own lives, but it's growing throughout the entire world. "Just as it has been doing among you since the day you heard it and truly understood God's grace." So there's this connection with hearing again. The day you heard it and truly understood God's grace. Some of you know that I grew up in the church. I grew up in Illinois, but I went to church my whole life. Not always super regularly, but I had a pretty strong knowledge of the Bible. I memorized a lot of Bible verses when I was a kid. I went to Awana. I knew a lot of scriptures. I knew the right Jesus and prayer answers and all that. You know, when the teachers asked me what the answers were in class, I knew because I was a church kid. But when I read this sentence that says, "Just as it has been doing among you since the day you heard it and truly understood God's grace," that brings me to a moment a little further down the line in my life. That brings me to when I was about 16 years old, and I had been connected to this church my whole life, but had not been going. I had not been involved in youth group at all. And a new youth pastor came into our church. His name was Darren Olson, and he was how do you describe him? He was a fiery guy. He was a fiery guy. He was a zealous guy. And Darren, he had epilepsy, and he struggled constantly. He was having seizures a lot. You know, sometimes he would have seizures like in the middle of our youth ministry stuff. Like, he was having a very, very hard time with epilepsy. And as a kid, you know, I just showed up to youth group one time out of shame or guilt or something, and I just you know, felt like I was supposed to, so I went. But I met this guy, and there was something about him that was different than what I had seen before. There was something that God was speaking to me through him. This guy utterly depended on God's grace for every single moment of his life. I mean, one of these seizures could have, you know, taken him down at any time. So he was praying constantly. He was reading the scriptures constantly. And as a youth director, he was in my life. He was encouraging me and encouraging our whole group. And by example, calling us to be as devoted to Christ. He wasn't just telling us, you need to pray and read your Bible. He was showing us what it means to really need that, and showing us that that's a better way to live than to just try to fight all your battles on your own. He showed it. He lived it. And in the couple years that followed that, when I was, you know, my last couple years of high school, God made his grace known to me. He let me know that being a Christian and following him wasn't about having all the right answers stored up in my brain, which I did. You know, I had most of them right, but take a look at how I was living my life. Didn't really matter. Didn't matter that I knew the answers. I was not living like I knew the answers. I was living like I was completely lost. But there was something about seeing the grace of Christ, the pure gift of life and of an utter dependence on him that absolutely transformed my life. So when I hear about the gospel bearing fruit out of this experience of truly understanding God's grace, that's what I think of. I think of that time in my life where the gospel was really bearing fruit. And as a youth ministry, our group was growing because a lot of us were just captivated by God's grace in that moment. We knew that we didn't have all the answers, but that God did. We absolutely needed him. And God was doing amazing things. And the gospel was growing. Not us, but the gospel was bearing fruit and growing. Okay, so the first crop is the crop of the gospel. The next one is the crop of the kingdom. Take a look at Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13, verses 31 through 32. We have Jesus weighing in on the discussion about growing. Much like the story about the farmer and the seeds, we have another story about seeds. So Matthew 13:31, he told them another parable. "The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and planted in his field. Though it is the smallest of all seeds, yet when it grows, It is the largest of garden plants and becomes a tree, so that the birds come and perch in its branches. The smallest of seeds. You guys know what a mustard seed looks like? I should have brought some mustard seed, a handful or something, but they're little tiny seeds. They may not be the smallest seed that exists on the planet, but they were the smallest common seed that was available to Jesus to make this point. These tiny little mustard seeds grow to be this large garden plant. And I also did not bring a mustard tree either. I didn't bring that either. But you can imagine, and we all know, we get the general idea that a seed starts very small. You bury it, which is quite symbolic. You bury it, and then life grows out of it. And life that's a lot bigger than that original seed. There's so much potential in this little thing that you just have no idea. And Jesus is talking about, he's saying that his kingdom is like this. So who's the king in the kingdom of God? Okay, Jesus is the king. So Jesus is the king in the kingdom. And this is how his kingdom grows and expands. It's like a tree that comes from this tiny, tiny seed. Now in this day, kings expanded their territories. Kings expanded their territories in all sorts of ways, mostly by plundering, murdering, invading, right? I mean, we've taken history classes throughout our lives enough to know that these empires just continually took land. They exploited people. I mean, in a way, many things haven't changed. But people are exploited, people are killed, people... The kingdoms were built on strength, might, and military force in those times. And yet the picture that Jesus gives of his kingdom growing is not of might and power and military force. It's the picture of a tree coming to life out of the earth. It may not be the fastest thing. It may not happen all at once. But it's sure, and it's strong, and it grows, and it gives life, and it continues to give life. And a tree, well, not only does it just grow out of one seed, but it also produces more seeds so that more trees can grow. And so the kingdom of God, well, it's something that starts small, but it grows. And it doesn't grow out of manipulation. It doesn't grow out of military force. It doesn't grow out of strong-arming people. It grows out of the power, the grace, and the love of God. And then Luke chapter 13 is basically the same thing as Matthew 13, so we won't go there. Okay, so the next crop is the crop of loving unity. For here we turn to Ephesians chapter 4. And we're back and forth quite a bit here, but trying to get at what it is to grow in Jesus. So Ephesians chapter 4. And we've moved away in Ephesians 4 from the agricultural metaphors of growing into a different sort of growth metaphor. So in Ephesians 4, verse 4, it says, "There is one body and one spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all." It's talking about the church. The church is one body. It's a bunch of people with a bunch of different gifts and a bunch of different shortcomings and a bunch of different strengths and a bunch of different... I mean, just look around. It's a bunch of people. And we're definitely not all the same. But we all come together under one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all. Okay? So that's sort of the basis of what we're talking about here. And skip down to verse 15. It says, "Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will," and this is the body again, this is the church, the people of God, "we will in all things grow up into him who is the head, that is Christ. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. So that when the scripture says that we will grow up into Christ, it then in the next sentence immediately says that we will grow up in love. So that growing up into Christ is going to look a whole lot like growing up in love. That is, a people who are growing up into Christ, a body who is really characterized by its head, Jesus. So this is the metaphor that we have. We have Jesus as the head, and the church is his body, his hands and feet, his, you know, all of it. Jesus is the head. So for us to be growing up into the head, for us to be looking like the head wants us to look, is for us to look like people who love. We grow and we build ourselves up in love as each part does its work. That is, for us to build ourselves up in love, we all, each one of us in the church, need to do our work, and we need to be working together. Right? Because we know what it looks like for a body to not be working together. Right? I mean, that's generally what disease is, and that's what, you know, a lot of people suffer from, these things. Our bodies not working together properly. Some part of your body not wanting to do what it's supposed to. Right? I mean, what is cancer? It's cells that are just trying to do the opposite of what they should be doing. They come in and they invade. You know, we know all too well what it's like for a body to not be functioning properly. And God is calling us as a church to grow into him by growing in love and working together. We know how bad it looks in the world when we're not working together, right? We know how bad it looks when on the news Christians are fighting against each other and we can't even coexist, let alone actually get along. we all know what that looks like. But Christ's call to us, build itself up in love as each part does its work, working together. And then our final crop that is growing out, we're still working with this metaphor of growth. Have I lost you on the metaphor yet? Hopefully not. So the last crop is the knowledge of God. And we're going to take a look at Colossians chapter 1 again. We were just in Colossians 1, but a few verses down, it has some more to say about growing. In Colossians chapter 1, verse 9 says, "For this reason, since the day we heard about you," this is Paul, a little backstory, this is Paul speaking about the church in Colossae, which is who the letter of the Colossians is addressed to. So it's the Colossians means that it's a letter written by the Apostle Paul to the church in Colossae. So that's why it's called Colossians. So since the day we heard about you, that is Paul and his cronies, Paul and his people, we have not stopped praying for you. We continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives, so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God. So this is Paul's prayer for the church. And Paul is a leader. I mean, he's written a lot of scripture. And the prayer is that you may bear fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God. We continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives, so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God. And so growing in the knowledge of God, for us, usually begins right here. We, in the Covenant Church at least, have a saying that we believe that the Scriptures, the Old and New Testament, are the only perfect rule for faith, doctrine, and conduct. That is the only perfect way in which God has communicated to us that we have to know, like for sure, what God is saying to us is in proper interpretation of the words of Scripture. I have to mention that because some people use Scripture as a, I don't know what they use it as, but as a way to argue with people and to get God on their side. No, we read the Scriptures for what it is, for a revelation that comes from God. And when we read it like that, when we hear God's voice, you know, that is the perfect rule for faith, doctrine, and conduct. This is where it all starts when it terms of knowing God and hearing God's voice and growing in Christ. We start in Scripture. And then, as we start listening to Scripture, well, then we discover the voice of God everywhere. We discover that God, yes, He speaks in Scripture in these amazing ways, but as we continue to be shaped by Scripture, as we know what's in it, as we are formed by the words, as we are formed by the story, as we see our lives within this great story that God is setting out from Genesis through Revelation, like when we see ourselves in that context, when we start to be shaped by Scripture, well then, when we start to see God's voice in all sorts of places. We're talking to a friend and we realize that God is ministering to us through them. We're listening to a song. We hear this beautiful melody and we realize that God is somewhere at work in that. We hear the words of a poet. We hear these true words that just strike us like an Old Testament prophet or something, and we realize that God is at work, and we hear God's voice in all these places through the voice of our little children or somebody else's little children and the actions of people around us and the embrace of a friend or a loved one. We hear God's voice all around us. And so part of what it means to grow in Jesus is to grow in this ability to hear God's voice. Like I said, it starts with Scripture and it moves into Word. It is our prayer life. It is what prayer is. Prayer is sort of listen, pray, listen, talk, listen with God. You know, we're sort of listening for the voice of God. We're speaking and then we're listening some more. God is speaking all the time. There is knowledge of God to be had. And part of what it is to bear fruit, what it is to grow in Christ, is to grow in that knowledge and to hone that ability to hear God's voice in our lives. And that is a beautiful, beautiful thing. And it's not easy. It does take some work and it does take some time. But wow, what a blessing. And then Scripture gives us a more succinct version of this truth. 2 Peter 3:18 says, "But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever. Amen." So Peter just says, grow. Grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Grow in grace, what we were talking about earlier, this submission, this need for God. And grow in knowledge. Continue to seek God's Word. Continue to seek His voice. Continue to try to hear Him. And it's the very last sentence of the book of 2 Peter. So it must have been an important thing. Usually the parting words are fairly important. Okay, so we've taken a look at the crops. We took a look at the seed and the soil. We've taken a look at the crops. And now we have to ask the question, how does it grow? One of my very first sermons here at Bretton Woods was on 1 Corinthians chapter 3. It's a particularly near and dear passage to me. It's something that is shapes my ministry, shapes the way I view life. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 5 through 7, we get these words. And it's in the context of these people who are sort of arguing about who's the better pastor in town. Like, Apollos is better, Paul's better, you know, these people. You know, I follow this guy. No, I follow that guy. I follow Jesus. Oh, look at me. I win. I follow Jesus. But, you know, the other person's follow Paul. The other person follows Apollos. So there's this competition. And Paul says this. What, after all, is Apollos? And what is Paul? Paul's saying, what is Paul? It's a very interesting existential question for him to be asking. But no. And after all, what is Apollos? And what is Paul? Only servants through whom you came to believe, as the Lord has assigned to each his task. I planted the seed, Apollos watered it, but God has been making it grow. So neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but only God who makes things grow. So we can talk about knowing and growing in Jesus and helping people know and grow in Jesus. We can talk about growing in Jesus. We can put all of our efforts towards growing in Jesus, but ultimately, the reality is that God makes things grow. God makes things grow. And this lines up perfectly with the stuff that we've already been talking about, because what are the things that are growing in us? The gospel, the kingdom, knowledge of God. You know, these sort of things aren't things that we really have a lot of control over. We don't have a lot of control over the gospel. We don't have a whole lot of control over the kingdom of God. No, the whole story is pointing to the fact that if we want to grow in our own lives, as a body, as a church, God makes things grow. Well, that's not to limit the importance of the planting and the watering, right? I planted the seed, Apollos watered it. That's important, but God makes it grow. Just because I planted the seed, you know, I mean, does a farmer who plants, do they think, oh, look what I did? No, they don't have any control over the process that has been put into place by God. They don't have any control over the weather, right? Does a farmer have control over the weather? Sometimes they wish they did. They do not. God makes things grow, or God does not make things grow. We just get to reap the benefits when it does come. This all reminds me of the words of John the Baptist. And John the Baptist is another character that I really appreciate from Scripture. And in John chapter 3, verse 30, he said this. He said, he, talking about Jesus, he must become greater. Literally, he must grow greater. It's the same word that we've been looking at over and over. He must grow. Jesus must grow. I must become less. This was John the Baptist, this great prophet who sort of came out of nowhere and gave these people all this hope that, oh, the prophets of old are back. God is in the house again. God is speaking again. And John the Baptist is very clear right from the outset of his ministry that, you know, I'm here to prepare the way for somebody else. I'm here to prepare the way for Jesus. He must become greater. I must become less. It's the only way we, as a body, or we as people, will grow. It's the only way. If he becomes greater, and we become less. So, how do we grow in Jesus? From Mark 4, from the very beginning, we talked about hearing the word and accepting it. Right? That's how the seed that grew, and grew 30, 60, 100 times, was the one that heard the word and accepted it. So that's our first job. Hear the word and accept it. Hear the words of Scripture. Accept it. Hear the word of the gospel and accept it. Hear what Jesus has done and accept it. That doesn't mean we don't ask questions when we have questions, right? This isn't like mindless acceptance, like insert knowledge here. No, you know, we talk about things and we wrestle with them and we wrestle with the story of God and how it applies to our lives. Because if we don't ask questions, well, we're never going to get anywhere. We're never going to grow. But ultimately, we have to accept what God is saying to us. We have to accept what Jesus has done in the world. And then we talked about the crop. The crop is living the gospel as participants in the kingdom, in loving unity, hearing and knowing God. That's the stuff that we all just just went over. It's about living the gospel as participants in the kingdom, not as lone rangers, not as people trying to conquer the world on our own, but as participants in the kingdom, and therefore as servants of a king, in loving unity together, hearing and knowing God, listening for his voice. And it grows because God makes it grow. None of these things, living the gospel, participating in the kingdom, even loving people, none of that comes from us. All of it is grace. All of it is a gift from God. And the growth that we experience in our own lives, the growth that we experience as a body, is all because of God's amazing grace. Amen? Well, let's pray. God, we're thankful for what you have done and what you continue to do in our lives and in this body. God, we pray that you will help us grow closer to you. Help us grow into this vision that you've set out for us in Scripture. You help us to become people more committed to the gospel, more submissive to your kingdom, more unified, more loving, and more in tune with your voice. God, we are so thankful for every step toward you that we've taken, for every way in which you've drawn us to yourself, for every gift that you've given us. We are so thankful. We're thankful that you prepared the soil of our hearts to receive your gospel, to receive your word, to hear it, to embrace us, to embrace it and set us on this journey of redemption, on this journey of living into this beautiful calling that you've placed on all of our lives to live out your gospel for your kingdom, for your glory. Will God continue in that work? Continue in that work in our lives as individuals and in our life as a body. Continue to shape us, continue to change us, continue to mold us into the people that you want us to be. We're so thankful. We ask these things by your grace and because of your mercy. In the strong name of Jesus. Amen.